Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight to come into your word and to learn, grow, and be able to change because of what we do receive. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light. And so there's illumination that comes, and we will see things that we didn't see before because the light of your word is coming upon our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. God, again, I ask you, as I always do, to teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to understand, to comprehend your word, to use it for every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we have authority over the enemy, and we cancel his assignment. He comes immediately, you said in your word, to steal the word of God, but he will not do so. We cancel that assignment and all the retaliating demons that would come against all the blessings that will come upon the people because of their obedience to this word they're receiving tonight. So this word will go into good ground, bring forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, I declare it done, and I thank you, Lord, in advance for the victories that come because of your word being received tonight. In Jesus' name, we call that all done. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go.
All right. We are on Proverbs chapter 29, and we will start with verse number 22. If you could read, reader.
We are going to finish this chapter for sure. We're going to start on
chapter
30.
We are tonight.
Yes, we are. All right. Everybody ready?
Okay.
An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression.
Okay, so I want to thank you. There's another translation that says the source, say source, of strife. So source is something that start with, the source of it. Mm. Where does it originate from? And it says the source of strife is found in an angry heart.
Mm.
Not,
that's a good word.
You know, we use this scripture, we say this sometimes, we say, well, you know, Jesus was angry, so of course he was without sin. It says, be angry and sin not. But the challenge is that too many people, even Christians, they get angry and they let that anger simmer and simmer and simmer and simmer, and then it turns into sin. Mm-hmm. And we must cut this thing at the source. You know, if you need to take this throughout your whole life, whatever's the source of something, that's what you have to attack. Wherever something originates from or begin, we have to try to attack the source of stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
It's like if you're dealing with cancer, you have to attack the source of that cancer.
Root.
You have to carve out or cut out the source of it. Mm-hmm. And so we have to deal with the source of strife. And it says the source of strife is found in an angry man. So I want to give you this. Well, let's go to, because I'm going to show you this in Genesis, and I did this before, but we need to read it again, okay? Because it's so important to read this, because in Genesis it talks about two brothers here. Mm-hmm. And if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you.
That's right.
I said, if you don't deal with the source of strife, then that strife will deal with you, because it says, read it again, reader. Just stand up and read that one more time. Read, please, Proverbs 29.
An angry man stirs up strife.
Okay.
And a furious man abounds in transgression.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Let me make a clarification. Being bold is not being angry. Okay? Because people want Christians to be weak. Because you're bold for the things of God, or for righteousness, or right living, I'm on a tangent right now to help men to stop going after whores. Man, people get mad at me and they look at me. I don't care what you do with me. But see, that's not the point. The point is that I'm not angry about that. You can sleep with whoever you want. You can sleep with your dog if you want. I don't care what you do. But see, I'm not saying that out of anger. I'm saying that because I'm sick of seeing men the Bible says, like an ox taken to the slaughter, following these nasty women that know what they're doing, sometimes wrecking entire families, hurting children, with high heels and what I say, Walmart eyelashes, and motor oil on their lips. Now, I'm not saying this out of anger. I'm not saying it because I'm saying it because this is real. We can't allow our Christian men, and we'll get to the women, but that's her department. We can't allow our Christian men that we are growing up, there's so, very few of them, to get tripped up by someone's high heels, jacking herself up. Now, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I know you sisters that are married. I know you know. And see, because I say that, I'm not angry. That's not what it's talking about. I'm speaking about living right. Because the Bible says, and I've been quoting this to several men in the several days that I've been on this tangent, and I don't know when I'm going to get off of it. I sort of got on it on Sunday, but y'all, my clock ran down. I went to the scripture, but I couldn't finish it. I said, marriage is honorable, and then the rest I couldn't get to in Hebrews chapter 13, 4. But anyhow, all I'm saying, and I'm going to give it back to the first lady here, and I got to go. But here's what I'm saying. Don't let people beat you up and say that you're an angry man just because you're a strong person. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Yeah, because what now? Don't turn it on.
Should be as bold as a lion.
Yeah.
But when you speak the truth, sometimes it can come off that you're angry because with truth, truth is sort of like what Jesus said. It's a hard, what his disciples said. These are hard sayings. And some things are so hard that when you, even parents telling their children, go make the bed or something. Well, see, there you go, telling me what to do again. And I don't feel like making my bed. You know, you're just angry all the time. And people will tie that together.
Right.
And this is not what this is talking about, but I understand what you're saying. And sometimes when you speak the truth, it from the word of God, it makes you seem, not you, but just it can make us seem like we're angry or whatever. And that's why people don't have the passion like they really should have, but we should care about injustice and, you know, things that are not right, in the
that's
things
right.
of God. And that's what's wrong with this country. And that's why there's a lot of things that just slip by,
you know,
because people don't want to speak the truth because it can come off, well, just like lifestyles that are against.
We're called to this. This
no,
is what we're called
I mean,
to. We're called to teach people how to live successfully as a Christian. Once you become a Christian, that's what we're, our ministry is.
Yeah, but in line with the word of God, different lifestyle that's not godly lifestyle. And then in this world, if you start talking about those different choices that people are making that's outside of the kingdom of God, then they'll say, see, you're not loving. You're angry. No, I'm just telling you the truth that that's not acceptable in the things of God.
When did love equal sin? So I'm unloving because I tell you, first, I'm going to just throw it out. There are no such things as trans. If there is, this is a book of truth. Show me the scripture. Now, see, I sound angry, don't I? I'm not. But see, we have children. Who made the second and third grade teacher and counselor a sex change specialist? Well, you send your children to school to go and learn A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and they can't even say it. You send them to school to learn 2 + 2 = they come back and say it's equals 7 according to the new math. But then they want to be able to tell you that they're supposed to be able to give your children, and this state is full of this. Tell you that your children feel like a nut, feel like they're a boy when they're a girl. And so we are going to take your child and we're going to do what we want to do with them and not tell you nothing. Now, I know I ain't supposed to be talking about this. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to talk about what's not right. When the preacher can't talk, then who going to say something?
The world's not going to
say. And so I'm going to ask you the question. Do we need more weak preachers? I'll rest my case. But we don't need angry men. And if you are angry, there's a time limit for being angry, having that anger. And it's up right now because the sun is down. The Bible say being, and I'm not going to take you to the scriptures because she's teaching this tonight. Be angry, but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I believe that was more for married couples than anybody else. Because they sit there and watch the sunset until they get mad. Is that a beautiful sunset? Oh, yes, it is, honey.
Yeah. But the point is that anger in itself isn't sin.
It is not.
It is not sin.
Or if so Jesus sinned.
That's right. So to get upset, Jesus whipped people out of the temple. Think about it. Because they were
that's
doing
physical
some,
violence.
Yeah. Because well, yeah. That he would be considered
an abuser.
Yeah. He wouldn't be nowadays. Okay. But see, Jesus was without sin.
That's right.
And so, but he was passionate because they were doing something that was not good. It was sinful what they were doing. And so he was passionate about it, and he did something in a physical way because he was passionate about
right.
it. But the point, what I'm saying is that anger in itself is not sin, but what I'm saying is that there's too many Christians and too many people that allow that anger to become sin
right.
because most people don't deal with it.
Right.
They don't deal with the anger. So here with these two brothers, I'm going to show you this in Genesis 4:4. It says we have Abel and Cain, and it says in Genesis, we're in Genesis 4:4, okay? If our reader, if she wants to read, she can read, but stay with me because there is a scripture I'm going to go to in James, okay? You can read James, I'll read this, okay? And it says, Abel also, say Abel, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of his fat. Now, this was talking about they brought in offerings, Abel and Cain, and I'm not going to go through all that. But notice what happened. And the Lord respected, say respected, Abel and his offering. But, you always look for the buts in the Bible, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very what? Angry, and his countenance fell. Now let's see what Jesus said. Let's see what the Lord said. God said about this. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Now, I said this, and I've said this many, many times. I'll say it again. When you become angry about, I don't care what it is, you need to ask yourself that same question. You need to give yourself your own assessment right there. And you need to say, why am I angry? You need to, you know, get away from the chaos at the moment or whatever and say, why am I angry? You have to ask that question. You have to ask that question. Why am I angry? And hopefully you'll answer it in a truthful way. Because most people, when they get angry, they point the finger to somebody else. Okay? And so Cain, actually I think Cain might have been pointing a finger to God. Because God was very clear and said that he and they had some kind of relationship where he knew it was God, and Cain was very angry after God did not respect his offering. And Cain was very angry. But the point is, Cain didn't do his best. And it'll mention that. And so in verse number 6, it says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? We got to ask ourselves that question. And if we're honest with ourselves, it'll help us to say, you know, I really don't have a reason to be angry. But then if you are angry, the Bible says, even God said he's only angry for a moment. And like Pastor Shorter just said, the Bible also says that you shouldn't let the sun go down on your wrath. That means you have to deal with being angry quickly. So it doesn't simmer in your soul and become a cancer, as it were, in your spirit. A bitterness, the Bible says. Because it says if you do, then it will trouble you. So as believers, I'm talking to believers, right? We have to deal with being angry, and we need to deal with it quickly. And we need to move on. As a believer, we have no right, according to the Word of God. I'm going to show you another scripture. We have no right to get into strife, anger, sowing discord. We have no right as a Christian. And if we get into all that, then I'm going to question your Christianity. And you're definitely not living according to the Word of God. You're not. And it takes strong other Christians to tell you that. So if there's a Christian that's coming to you and saying, well, I'm just angry about this, or I'm just really upset, and say, how long you been angry? I've been angry for months. And say, well, you need to get over it. Because it's obvious you haven't cast that care on the Lord, because you're still carrying it. And as believers, we have to get over things. I tell people all the time, I can't afford to be angry with you, because I want the anointing of God on my life. And that anointing is costly. And so I'm going to get rid of it. You know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get rid of it. But I can think of a lot of things I could be angry about. I mean, I could be angry at my past. And that's another thing, too. Some of you, you're still carrying your past. Your daddy didn't treat you right. He left you and all this kind of stuff. But if you're a believer now, you have the Holy Spirit to help you to get out of that. You know, I can really cry in my soup, too. You know, my mother and father left me, gave me up for adoption, didn't want to raise me, you know, was embarrassed of me or whatever their problems were, okay? And so, and yeah, it did hurt. And many years, because I didn't know the word, many years I carried that angry spirit and just, you know, hateful spirit and stuff like that. But as I started getting into the Word of God and found out that, you know, I can cast my care unto the Lord because He cares for me. And I really believe that. It's not just quoting the scripture. I know He cares for me. And then I say, gosh, 100 years from now, is it going to really be in that, will it be important? It's not going to be important in heaven about me being adopted. God, I ain't going to care about that, because now that I'm a born again Christian, I'm adopted again anyhow in the family of God. So I haven't been adopted twice. So that's a blessing if somebody want to adopt you, okay? Want to feed you and clothe you and, you know, and all that kind of stuff they have to do. So it says, but I didn't appreciate that early on. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You know, and people that's angry, I know, I've been there before. You know, you want to show that you're angry, so you're going to look mad and ugly and dejected and all that kind of stuff. You know, and one thing we can't do, too, in marriage, we cannot allow ourselves to get to the point where, and I did this early on in our marriage, where, you know, I was pulling on my husband so much to say, make me happy, make me happy, make me happy. You know, sometimes we depend on other people to make us happy, or tried, you have to make me happy. You have to give me joy. No, only God can give you true joy. And we need to stop looking to one another to make somebody happy or make you happy. We have to stop depending on people to make you happy. And I can't depend on people to make me happy. My happiness must come from God, because that's where going to be the true source of happiness. Amen. And I know, and see, like I said, I got my side of the testimony for when Pastor Shorter was sick for almost 7 years. He wasn't thinking about making me happy. All he was thinking about his own, you know, depression and, you know, being all sad and all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, I would come home from church and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He said, shut up. I said, you ain't stealing my joy. And so we have to understand that our relationship with God, we need to pull on God for the joy, for love, You know, and another thing too, I remember when first was married, I was trying to pull him on love. I wanted love so bad because, you know, I felt dejected and rejected and down and out because I was adopted. And then how I found out the relationship, you know, that my mother committed adultery, and then I was a product of this sin, and I was so shameful I couldn't even talk about it. And then when I start talking about it, I would cry all the time. Notice I don't cry anymore. I got all those tears. I got rid of all those tears because I, you know, and I felt bad about myself. Oh, I'm a product of sin. Look at this, you know, and I felt bad about myself, but I didn't have the word. I didn't know that was the enemy that was trying to make me feel bad and make me feel like it was my problem. And then when I got into the Word of God and found out who I was in Christ and my identity in the Lord, I said, you know, I said, well, that was their problem. They're the ones that sin. I didn't sin. They sin. And so we have to find our love in the Lord. We have to find our peace in God. No man can give you this. Only God can give you your peace, your true love and joy and everything. Only God can do that. And that's why I was, by the grace of God, I was able to help my husband through this, because I realized that he's not the source of joy. He's not the source of happiness. So I was able to surround him with prayer and love, and without receiving it back, I was able to give him the love that he deserves as still my husband. No matter what he was going through, he was still the head of me. Because once you find out that only God can give you that true peace and that true love, then you just stop pulling on people to try to make you happy. Because people are just people. And sometimes we try to lean too much on people. And we need to lean. The Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So how much is left from your heart? Nothing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will help you. Direct your path. Show you which way to go. So it says, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So I'm going to look mad. I'm going to, you know, especially at my age now, I try to really smile more because it's an instant facelift. So even if I want to have a fallen countenance, believe me, I'm trying to smile. Okay, so anyway. And it says in verse number 6, it's okay to laugh. Laughter is like a medicine. So the Lord said to Cain, see, the Lord said to him, why are you angry? So if the Lord is going to ask us that question or ask Cain, the Lord is asking us. Every time we get mad, the Lord will ask you, why are you angry? Deal with it. And he says, and why have your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? That means if you're going to do well, you're going to do it according to the word of God. So if you're going to take being angry and you're going to just fester on it and not going to go according to the word of God, then you're not doing well. You're doing well when you live according to the word of God. You'll get good results. But if you choose not to do it according to the word of God, then it's not going to go well with you. Huh? It's not going to go well with me. And that's a decision we have to make every day as believers. I'm talking to believers, right? Okay. That's when we come to church. Really, church is here for believers. Now, if we get unsaved people coming in and we have an altar call and they get saved, praise God. But this is our place to come in and be taught and learn the word of God. Amen? And to be encouraged too. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. That means you can rule over sin. Say a big amen. I'm going to read it and see if there's another translation. Why are you angry? Why do you look sad, depressed, and dejected? I love it out. This is the Amplify. And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. That means the devil is at your door. And there's a scripture in the Bible, and it says that the devil looks for opportunities. When he was when he tempted Jesus 40 days, 40 nights, the Bible says the devil went away for and was looking for another opportunity to come to try to tempt Jesus. So the devil is at the door, and he's looking for a way in. And as a believers, the devil has no authority over us. The only authority he has over us now is the authority we give to him. So if you're not going to do it God's way, if you're going to hang on to anger and bitterness and all this hate and all this stuff like that, then guess what? Sin is at your door. And Jesus, God, the Lord himself said, it's desires for you to take you out, but you must master it. That means you can master, you can overcome. The Bible says there's no temptation that is not common to man. And then it says, God will make a way of an escape or an exit door. See how these exit? We have an exit door over here. We have an exit door over there. And his big old sign says, exit. God will make a way to get out of it. Amen. But you have to take the way out. Or you can sit around and say, I ain't doing it God's way. Well, if you're not going to choose to do it God's way, it's not going to go well with you. And I don't care how many people's praying for you. If you're not going to do it according to the word of God, it's not going to go well with you. Okay, now I'm going to show something else. And go ahead and find it in James 3. Reader, please. Find it in James 3, verse number 14. I'm going to read. She's going to read this scripture. And then we're going to move on. Here in James 3 and starting at verse number 14. If you could just read 14 until I can catch up to you, okay?
But if you have bitter envy.
If you have what?
Bitter envy.
Bitter envy, okay? Because that's the anger, like I said, you have a simmer and stuff, and then it becomes bitterness, becomes envy. There's another, the King James used the word strife, okay? Because, let me see, let's take it back to Proverbs real quick, reader. Hold on, let me just do this real quick to establish this again. It says in verse 22, we're in Proverbs 29, 22, an angry man stirs up strife. Okay, we just read that. That's what we're reading from Proverbs 29, 12, okay? And a furious man, I mean, I'm really mad. I'm going to get you. I'm going to talk about you. Abounds in transgressions. That means sins. You're sinning now. We are not responsible to get back at somebody. You trying to get back at somebody, you're sinning. You're sinning. Now, I've been in ministry over 30-something years. And we've had people talk bad about us. We had some people leave us. We had some crazy stuff. I can tell you some stories in 20, over 30 years of ministry. And I can tell you this, standing before God in his house, there's not one of those people that we have ever tried to get back at. You know why? Because God knows their address. And God is everywhere. And God knows how to take care of business. And that's my faith in God. So we don't have to fight our battles. You guys need to stop fighting your battles.
That's right.
And let the Lord fight your battles
for
you. What
you want to let God do.
Yeah, let God do that.
You want to do everything. You want to do everything. Let God do that.
So go ahead and finish reading, but if you have what?
Bitter envy.
Uh-huh.
And self-seeking.
The King James says strife, and that's really the source of strife too. Yeah, it's anger, but it's really selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really you're self-seeking. I got my feelings hurt. So what? You know, if you're going to continue to live on this earth, you're going to get your feelings hurt.
That's what you got feelings for. So they can get hurt. So
it's
you
just
know
life.
That somebody did you wrong.
You know, it's and just so life.
People, no,
it's,
I got to say this. Because okay, people, most people, they live by feelings. They sue by feelings. Yeah. How did you make it? How did that make you feel? Well, that's worth at least $4 million. Come on over here. I get one third, don't I? Yeah. Somebody's pushing this stuff. Yeah. You make me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes you are a nut. Yeah. See, we can't go by feelings. The Bible doesn't. Now, God does say that he is not the kind of person that will forget about what you feel. Jesus came here to see what it felt like. So he knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like to be lonely. He knows what it feels like to be dogged, to be treated badly. He knows what it feels like to be sick. He carried 39 stripes on his body was for our sickness.
Well, that's why in the garden, he was feeling it. Yes. You know, he had emotions. He said, you know, he was crying out to God, God, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. Right. I don't want to suffer, you know, right now and stuff.
And you know, when you said garden, there's two gardens. The Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. We suffered from both. The first one put us in hell. The second one took us out of hell. Because Jesus put up with the mess that was going on in the garden and didn't blow up. I say people come to the church sometimes, they blow in, blow up, and blow out.
Because of feelings. And we have them. We have emotions. I'm not playing that down. We do have emotions. But we must be led by the Spirit of God and not how we feel. Marriage, if you're married, you will never last 50 years like us. Believe me.
Because we felt
we've had a lot of different feelings. 50 years.
Of feelings. Can you imagine 50 years of feelings?
Really?
And it all wasn't just like this.
No, it wasn't. And we wouldn't be married today if we went by our feelings, just by feelings. Because there's sometimes I didn't feel like, you know, he really loved me. And like I taught you, I said, I had to stop trying to put that pressure on anyhow. And once I found out, hey, God loves me. It's your problem if you don't love me.
See, that ain't right. See how she loves me? You say how she loves me? On live stream with people that we don't even know. She does me like this all the time. I'm praying her strength in the Lord. I'm praying something changed. Some change got to come.
I love your love, but you know, you can't. We have to be real to people.
She's
that
a
you
hard
can't,
customer. Sometimes.
You cannot operate your life and make choices on just feelings.
That is so true. And this whole world
you'll,
is about,
you'll never love life.
People are having sex changes. I'll go back to it.
What now?
Off of what they feel. Sex changes! They used to call this mutilation.
I was just going to say, that's what it is.
And they used to condemn it in America because it was happening mainly in Muslim nations. But in the last 10, 15 years, they switched this over and wanted our elementary schools to be a place where mutilation is promoted. You don't have to like me or what we're saying, but that ain't right.
Yeah.
I didn't send my grandchildren. You mess with them, I'm going to slap you upside your head in the spirit. I'll slap a prayer right on you. And let me just say this about this anger thing. I got to say this because the same anointing that heals is the same anointing that can blind. You mess with the wrong person with the anointing on their lives and you'll mess yourself up. Now, we have several people, I could stand them up in this church, that have been healed of cancer. But you come against that anointing, you may get cancer. I ain't going to put it on you because I ain't got cancer to give you. But see, things happen when we do stupid stuff against people because we're angry.
I taught about you can open the door where sin crouches at your door, and I think you were out right then. And then, so you can open the door. God is not even... God won't even give you that because he don't have cancer to give you. But you open the door for bitterness, and that will trigger physical, that can trigger physical things as well as mental things. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, that's important to know. You have to get a grip on this. Okay, so let's go, reader. Let's finish.
But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth.
Go ahead. Okay. This wisdom
does not descend from above.
Oh, wait. We're calling this wisdom.
Well, there's earthly wisdom.
There's two kinds of wisdom.
And a heavenly
wisdom. There
are
some people that think they're wise, but they're wise based on this world. And so we say, well, you ain't got no wisdom. Yeah, you do. You have wisdom from this earth, from the world, from the devil. Mm-hmm. The devil is cunning.
Well, the world will tell you, right, they did you wrong. You have a right to do it. And that's a worldly spirit. Because not as a believer, you don't have a right. You have to get free of being angry and stuff. Now, you may not go to dinner with the people or, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Now, there is a righteous anger, too. Okay, so that's what you was talking about really earlier, mm-hmm. the righteous anger,
right.
anger, the right. passion of that's wrong to treat kids, you know, what they're doing.
You're not going
to
do it.
And too many Christians are not angry enough to me. They don't have the righteous anger to me. They just
think
so
that
passive.
Anger is sin.
They're so passive.
What if I get too angry? Well, why are you so angry? Because I'm supposed to be.
We should be.
The Bible says that God will perfect the things that concerns you. So if you're not going to concern yourself with nothing, you just, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I just want to be a nice Christian to you and thee. I'm not going to change nothing. You, that's all right. I'll just keep praying. Fool, you are the answer. Get your rump up and say something. People change by hearing people. And you happen to be a people. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive them of their sins. You are a people that were not a people, are now the people of God. You got to know who you're serving. Facebook? Instagram? Your fan base, which is fake. I had over 5,000 connections, associates, whatever you call it on LinkedIn, because I got into the business side. I got it because I've been in the ABC television industry and mainly working for ABC stations for years. 5,000, most of them were news directors and producers and actors and actresses from all over the country. They saw that I was involved with the ministry. In the media, and I was involved with ministry. They locked on to this website. I deleted the whole thing. I was about to become an influencer to the influencers. But I deleted it because I said, I'm not going to get myself thinking that I'm so in control of all these people and look at who I got. I have more people online saying they associated with me on the LinkedIn. It ain't no nasty thing. It's basically your bio and a business resume about you. Okay, ain't no crazy stuff on there that I know of. I ain't been there for a long time. Well, I deleted the whole account when I went through the sickness thing. I said, because the Lord said, you are who you are by the grace of God. So you ain't what you think you are. I deleted all of them. And I would write stuff and people were responding. People wanted me to, they were lying and said that I recommended them. I didn't know who they were. Recommended them for jobs and all this kind of stuff. But see, we can get caught up in all that foolishness and think we really got somebody that really cares for us when people do not care for you and you get in a hole and they ain't thinking about you. They can't. I say some of these people can't care. Not that they don't care. They can't. They don't have the ability to care for you. That's why Jesus said, or the word says in 1 Peter, to cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we know you're going to be taken care of. So I just agree with our first lady here. This is so important because you can get messed up with anger for years and nobody even cares. You're the only one messed up. And you messed up with somebody you even forgot all about.
Some people are actually passed on. And some people are still angry. And so we have to deal with it because, you know, you're not going to enjoy your life if you hang on to anger. Because people are, one thing I found out, people are not perfect. And that's one thing that helped our marriage.
That's right.
Because I found out my husband, he's not perfect, and he found out that I wasn't.
That's right.
And so we just, two imperfect people.
Trying to do it right.
Just trying to do it right. And so
right.
We have to forgive each other.
You're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find a perfect church. Soon as you come in, there ain't perfect no
There's
more.
There's no perfect, yeah.
You made it imperfect, bozo.
Yep. And people, they want to say, they use that as an excuse. There's just a lot of hypocrites in the church. And they're the
one's talking right now.
Yeah. That's all true. Okay, read or read.
I've been doing this too long, y'all.
Read or read. But you know what? Isn't it good you can come to church and really hear the truth? Because we say things people are thinking. And we will. Why not? It's sort of like the scripture you read Sunday. We're not here to hold back anything.
We're here
to give you everything that's going to help you.
Right. And some of the stuff I don't want to share.
You know.
But the Spirit of the Lord will
And if
have
you're
going to
have a good marriage, then you have to learn how to forgive each other. And it can't take you forever to do it.
How many sunsets do we have to go through before you're going to forgive somebody? You know, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And it's been 14,000 sunsets. And you're still sitting there. I'm mad at you. Who gave you the right to be mad that long? Even God said in the word, his anger is but for a moment. What do you have a right to be more than a minute and a half? His anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. But I went past that. I found out that mercy is forever, so I took that one. His mercy endures forever. So why just go for the lifetime? I want some mercy in heaven.
True.
Talk to me, somebody.
Okay, let's finish this off. That's
okay,
good, because mercy's right in here. I know we're going to go a little longer, just a little longer. Okay, go ahead, reader.
This wisdom does not descend from above. This is earthly, sensual, demonic.
No, devilish is what it says in the King James, and I like that better.
Yeah.
It comes from the devil.
Yeah.
There are people that think they're wise, and what their wisdom they have came from the devil. And I talked to a devil yesterday. We had a devil... I can't tell you this story, but we found the devil at the office store. He had Satan written on the back of his jacket and skulls on his lanyard with his name on it. He was a devil, and he wanted to be a devil, and we told him, you're a devil.
I have to be honest with you, okay? I'm going to just tell you this part. I was very sweet when I said it,
though. She was sweet to the devil.
I was sweet.
Lord Jesus.
I was sweet
today.
Because he was so upset. And I said, you know why
this is
you're
true.
This is true. I said, you know why you're really upset? I said, because you got a devil on the back of you.
And I started playing my music loud.
That's why you're so upset, because you got a devil on the back of you. And then he really got really mad. Because it was the devil that was getting mad. And so anyway.
Say, you ain't devil, you.
So
you
anyway,
ain't telling me what to do. No, I gotta say this part.
I don't want to get these people in trouble. Because you have to have the anointing when you talk like that.
Yeah. Don't talk to people like that. They're gonna fire you, but
don't
your rear end.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
If the Lord's not
telling you, don't do it on your job.
Don't do it.
This was not our job. They're not paying us. In fact, okay, I'll just. We didn't spend $3,000 at this office store setting up our offices all over. In the last month and a half, $3,000. And the idiot gonna sit there and treat me like a dog. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Oh, Satan's wrong with you.
Well, you know.
See, because his wisdom did not come from above. It came from the earth, sensual.
Well, have devilish. You guys noticed that the customer service is just sort of out the window? People just throw things at you and just, you know, rude and, I mean, you know, just, you know,
Figure it out.
We actually had, I have to tell you this one.
We got we to actually, go, Kathy.
I know, but I have to tell you this one. We actually had, we were buying some donuts.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot about that.
And we actually had the worker, one of the workers, tell us, because I wanted to ask a question or something, and he actually said this to me. I could not believe it. He said, "I don't have time to answer your questions."
Oh, we had just bought $30 worth of donuts.
I'm saying, what is wrong with this country? What is wrong with people? What happened to customer service?
And I said, "Sucker, yes, you do. You got time to talk to me. You go talk to me. Because I just bought $30 worth of donuts. You ain't even made $30 today. I'd have paid your salary for the next 2 weeks. At this donut shop where they're paying you $5.33.
You guys have to pray for us because lately, I'm telling you.
I'm kidding.
People are just, you know, they act like the devil now. And it's really sad.
And they think they're wise. But they do have wisdom based on the world, sensual, earthly, devilish.
But
you can't tell them they don't have wisdom because they're getting it from somewhere.
Okay, and we're going to finish this because we're going to teach you guys, you have to be peaceable. Okay? Don't do some of this crazy stuff. Okay.
I didn't want to come back
verse
like
number
this.
16.
I asked God.
Verse number 16.
Not to come
read,
back
read,
like
reader.
This.
For where envy and self-seeking.
Or strife.
Strife. Mm-hmm. Exist, confusion.
See, confusion.
And everything.
Confusion. Every. Listen to what confusion means. Unrest, disharmony, all sorts of evil and vile practices. That's what confusion. All sorts of evil. See, you can't, disharmony. You have to know the devil's behind this. We just read it's demonic. So when there's no peace and all this confusion, and I don't care if it's in the church or in your household or on your job and all this, this is demonic. The devil is involved with this. And we have to cast this devil spirit out. Okay, go ahead and finish reading and we'll stop here. We thought we was going to finish this chapter.
We haven't thought that for so many weeks.
Go ahead. And every
evil thing.
Do you guys see this? And every evil thing.
Yes,
so we have to attack. This is not a joke, people.
In the King James, with the King James, it says every evil work.
Yeah, strife and bitter envy and all this confusion. This is of the devil.
And people live in this and think it's normal.
Okay, go ahead. Go on.
It's not normal to live like that as a Christian. You shouldn't be in this confusion.
You have to fight it. You
got to pray.
God said to Cain, you got to master it.
Yeah.
You have to master it. You have to overcome this thing.
That's right.
Because sin is crouching at your door. Okay, go on and finish.
But the wisdom that is from above.
So here we go.
Is first pure.
Pure. Then not perfect, but pure. You have a pure
heart. Be pure about what you're saying.
You know, and sometimes when I correct people, my heart is pure. I'm saying, this is not right. You shouldn't treat people like this. It bothers me because I said, if you treat me like this, you're going to treat somebody else like this.
That's what I think about.
So I'm trying to help you. You know, my husband always tell me, he said, Kathy, stop training these people. You know,
well, I just started charging them. I charge $500 an hour, by the way, for business training. I do.
So go ahead.
I mean, it's a 2-hour minimum, if anybody's interested.
Then peaceable, gentle.
See? Peaceable, gentle. So you want to do it in a gentle way. And I did it. I was really gentle with that person. But the devil wasn't gentle.
No.
Coming back on me, the devil wasn't gentle. I was gentle.
No.
Trying to help somebody. Because if you're going to open the door for demonic things, you're going to start acting like demons.
Right.
Like the devil. You are.
And some people, you can see that spirit on them. You have to learn to be discerning. How are people treating you? How are people treating you? And sometimes they don't even know why they're doing it because they're so tied to evil. They don't even know why they're doing it. They don't even like doing it. They don't want to do it. But they're being motivated by devilish, earthly. And see, not just devilish, earthly. That's New Age. Mm-hmm. See, that's New Age. That's where you're worshiping the earth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. hugging the trees. The tree can't hug you back.
That's right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Worshiping the whales. That's the earth. Looking at science, and I've mastered science in aviation, but I'm not going to worship no stupid airplane flying through the air. Mm-hmm. It's just an airplane flying through the air. It's science, technology, engineering, and math that can take people from God. Mm-hmm. Or you can add arts to it too. We know that. Yeah. Can take them from God. You got to master science, technology, engineering, math, the arts, and not let them master you.
Okay, go ahead and finish. Gentle.
Gentle. Willing to yield.
That means yield to reason. Mm-hmm. You don't yield to wrong.
And you don't.
I say you don't yield to wrong.
You don't be a wet
you don't yield to
sitting
wrong.
There waiting for if them to run over you.
If you're, you know, let's just say you're a teenager and you live in a household and your parents want, and this has happened, your parents want you to start smoking dope with you. You don't have to obey your parents in that. Because the Bible says obey your mother and your father. But if they're telling you to do something wrong, you don't have to yield. You yield to reason. Not to wrong. You don't yield to wrong. Hello?
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. And so I don't care who's telling you to do something. If it's outside the will of God, you don't do it.
Right.
So I don't care. You lose a friendship, you lose whatever, but you just don't do it. I'm not going to tell my husband to stop serving God, and he's not going to tell me.
Nope.
Because we wouldn't do it.
That's right.
Now, when you were sick and
I had given up, okay?
You had given up on life, really,
I was ready to die.
Things like that.
I'm sick
but
of
I
this.
Just kept going. I kept, you know, serving God. Yeah. I kept doing the things that I needed to do. Kept my worship music going and everything I needed to do. And that's why you can win people over. Even though I didn't have to win him over. He loved Jesus and stuff. But, you know, he was in a place in his life he had just given up.
Because of
that poison.
Influence of the poison in putting
it
in my
did
arm.
Something to him.
Yeah, at the hospital.
You know, it did something to him.
Just crazy.
And so we have to understand that.
Kathy, I got to tell this. Okay, I got to tell this. We were just at Best Buy. Okay, before we came here, I got a computer need to get fixed. And this man came in with a cane, and one of his leg had been amputated at the knee. I said, "Are you a veteran?" Because I was going to say, "Thank God for your service, sir. We appreciate that you had to sacrifice in the military." I said, "Were you in the military?" He said, No, I wasn't in the military." He said, "I stepped on a nail." I said, "And what happened?" He said, "I stepped on a nail, went to the doctor's office. They put a piece of plastic under my foot and wrapped it really, 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 really tight. And I had to walk into this clinic a long ways and my foot started coming apart." So it bled. Usually it was just a little small, but she put this thing on so tight that my foot started coming apart under the bottom.
So you didn't do it right.
And I was bleeding like crazy. Then, by the time I got home, it was infected. And the gangrene got into my leg. And before they could be able to do anything about it, they had to amputate, they thought, just my toes. They tried that, but it didn't stop. Then they had to get my foot. Then they got up to the ankle. Then they went all the way to my knee. And they had to, I said, "Over stepping on a nail?" He said, "Yes, but it wasn't stepping on the nail. It's what they did after I stepped on the nail." You had better pray if you're dealing with these doctors and hospitals, because they do have some wisdom, and thank God for them. Thank God for the scientist. Thank God for these people. But you better rely on the Word of God as the final authority for your life. And this man was walking around with half his leg on his left side because somebody did something to him that they didn't know what they were doing. I said, "Did you talk to any attorneys?" He said, "Well, I was thinking about that. But this happened in 2001. I said to myself, statute of limitations is over, buddy. You ain't going to be able to do nothing. So they just messed you up, and you just messed up." And it was so sad to see him sitting there with his leg. He didn't go to war, but he met with somebody that had knowledge that was not from God, mixed with the knowledge or wisdom from this earth. How sad.
We need to go to Jesus first. He's a great physician. I always say call Jesus first, and the, you know, and if you can, call the doctor second. Okay, let's finish this off and then we'll close.
Willing to yield, full of mercy and
full
good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Okay, let's back this up. Let's go. First of all, don't be a hypocrite. Now, when we get the wisdom from God, you can't be, because that wisdom does not have hypocrisy. A hypocrite is an actor. They fake. And sometimes we have people in the church that fake that they're saved.
It says, the Amplified says, use the word straightforward. That we should be straightforward, impartial.
Impartial is the next one. Let's go back again. It says, no, let's go back to where we were. Let's go back to where we were, please. Okay, because I don't have time to go through. And good fruits and full of mercy. Willing to yield. You're not going to win all the fights. Sometimes you just got to give it up and you just can't see. They can't see what you're saying because they're not getting taught like you're getting taught. And this is why marriage is really a mess when one is getting taught to one level and the other one won't listen. You got a serious problem there. If she was going to some other church teaching something other than me, what we was telling, I probably wouldn't have made it through because she had to pray me through. There were times I was in the hospital, I couldn't pray for me. There's times where I couldn't even, didn't have the sense to pray for me but I needed her to pray for me. And so it's important to have that spouse that's locked in with God too. Maybe, but if there's, how can two walk together unless they agree? You can't even walk together. So it's important for us to be yielding to one another, but not yielding to evil. Men, you have to lead your families. You can't let evil lead your family. Being peaceable. That doesn't mean you're weak. That doesn't mean you're sitting there, you know, you're the little Christian with the little... You got the little sheep under your arm. Praise the Lord. No, man. Jesus was meek, which is strength under control.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
You know what that is? My son explained this so good one Sunday. He explained how a big man with arms the size of, you know, big tree trunks, holding the little baby that he could crush, but gently gives the little baby the bottle. Kisses him on the forehead and just takes care of that little baby. That's strength under control.
Yeah. Right.
That's meekness. Yeah. That's not being weak.
Anything else is abuse.
Yeah. Right.
And people have done that.
So pure was the first thing it says. So we went backwards on that. But go ahead and finish up because we're out of time, really.
Go ahead and finish it off and then we'll close.
Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
And that's what we should be. We should try to be a peacemaker.
Yes.
And so even in our marriage, we should try to be. Somebody need to be the peacemaker. My mama, I'll never forget her. She said, two wrongs don't make a right.
No, she also said.
I can remember that. It's not a scripture, but it's common sense.
If she's going to talk like a fool, you talk like the sense, okay? Talk like you got sense. If you gonna talk with like a fool, then you had the sense. Then, you know, she was from the South. One of y'all gotta have some sense while the other one's a fool. Don't both of y'all be a fool.
Come on, let's praise the Lord.
Praise
God. We had a good time. That's good. Amen. Praise God.
So I want to thank also publicly here Deacon Walter Heineman that is ministering to our teens. We're rotating different ones to go into the teen ministry. He's sharing about what it means to be a deacon and how he has to do all the things that he does. And he's one of our assistants also. And what there he is right there. He had a great time, didn't you? Yeah, those kids are fun up there. I introduced him as our head peanut butter and jelly sandwich maker here. As a deacon, that's what you do. You know, you set up the tables and make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And so he's the head sandwich maker here. He's been making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches longer than any other deacon here. So we're thankful for him. But let's give him a good hand. And let's thank God for Deacon Walter Heineman. All right. Tonight, you get an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
This is an opportunity. Amen. Not everybody has this opportunity. They don't even know they can do this. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. In fact, go to that. Luke 6:38, I believe it is. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Why would you not want to receive? It just means you can give to more people. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, it will be given unto you, good measure. Even if you don't give with a good measure, it's going to be given to you, good measure. It's going to be pressed down, shaken together. God's trying to get it all in your jar. Shaken together, running over. After it's shaken together, pressed down, he's going to didn't have it running over. You're going to have to put your hands around there to be able to hold on to what he's giving you. Shall men, he ain't doing it, but you, God will give you favor with people. And if you're not getting favor, keep talking to somebody else. Go from one place to another and pray and ask God, where's the favor? Where's the favor? You know there's favor for you. You got to find out where that favor is. Because somebody is holding your favor that day. If you're buying a house, you're buying a car, you're getting ready to look for a job, whatever, look for the favor. If you don't get the favor, just wait until you get the favor. Because somebody is going to favor you.
Amen.
I said, God will touch the hearts of men. Stop getting mad at people. That's where anger is messing you up. You walk around with an old angry attitude. People want to bless you. I've had people that, you know, they looked at, I had money in my pocket. Say, I'm going to bless so-and-so. They walk by, I'm like, I'm going to keep my money. I ain't thinking about you. You suffer. You already got a problem. I don't need your attitude. No, I mean, I just keep my money. They never knew I had $200 for them.
No, it's the truth.
You know, I don't have to give to nobody. Nobody has to give to me.
No, that's happened to me before.
True.
Where it was on my heart to give, and then the person just has such I said, forget it. I am not going to reward you for your attitude right now.
Right.
I said, ain't a missed a blessing. Because the Lord just put my heart, don't do it.
They'll never know it. We got 5 minutes left. Let's go ahead. can we pass the envelopes, please?
Yeah,
pass those, and then follow it up with the containers. Tonight, as you give, know that you're not giving to me. You can't. But thank you for those of you that have given to me. Thank
he
you.
Hasn't opened his presents
I don't
up,
I open my presents until close to midnight
birthday.
On my birthday.
On his birthday.
Okay?
That's just a tradition.
I told you, I squeeze every minute, every hour out of everything that I can get. So don't get mad at me. I ain't saying thank you for what you gave me. You may have given me something big and you want me to say thank you to you. I don't even know what it is yet, okay? So I will know. I'll see what's going on close to midnight on Friday night when it's my birthday. Why open a birthday gift and it ain't my birthday? That's like opening Christmas gifts right now. Don't make no sense to me. Anybody got a Christmas gift they want to give me? No, you can get the first lady. She's so sweet. This is the sweetest woman you ever meet.
I love you.
She is. She is just
you.
Emotional.
I thank God for my husband. Don't you love your pastor Shorter? You love Pastor Shorter.
And
I love
just
my
thank
husband.
God. So it's a blessing. And you're blessed to be
thank
able
you.
To have this family. I'm talking about my son and my daughters. They worked their
yes,
butts off.
Yes, thank God for Pastor Don Jr.
Amen. And
Sister Danae Davis.
I want to say this, and I'll say it. I know we're on live stream, but I'm going to say it anyhow. My daughter is being elevated in a position to chief of staff.
Ooh.
She is getting a new title. You mess with me, she's coming at you. She is given new authority. She is handling more of our calls, more of our everything. She has a new number. You don't just call my cell phone no more. Unless you're close in working with us. Anyhow, I'll explain that at the leaders' meeting. But she is new to this church as the chief of staff. Praise the Lord. We got more staff we'll be adding on pretty soon. Amen.
Praise God.
All right.
So thank you for wonderful, wonderful celebration. We're going to celebrate. We have a cake out there again tonight.
Can I tell it? Can I tell it now? Can I tell
yeah,
it?
You can tell the story. Are
okay.
we off there? Goodbye.
We'll go ahead and say goodbye to our live stream audience. Thank God that you're here. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. What I heard tonight was rich, and I want it. I want you in my life. Kingdom of God, come into my life. Will of God, be done in my life. In Jesus' name, I declare, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And tonight, I declare I'm saved. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God knows it, and you need to tell somebody that you received Jesus
also
as your Lord and
be
Savior.
A blessing to the ministry. Yes. If you watch it by way of live stream, you should be sowing into the ministry.
Go online right now.
Because you shouldn't just take.
That's right.
Okay? You should be
Don't
able
be known
to
as
give.
A taker. Okay, be known as a giver. Have a great night.